Ladies and gentlemen, if I say that we Christians are living in a very increasingly hostile and demonic world, would you agree? Additionally, if I say that the majority of born-again Christians are not prepared for their spiritual warfare, would you agree? Yes. I believe that both answers yes. The reason for the ill preparation of a vast majority of Christians for the spiritual warfare are, I find, the three reasons. Number one, they do not know the Word of God as they should. They do not know the Word of God as they should. Somehow they think that knowing the Word of God is for the pastors and Bible teachers' job. No, you need to know. Every one of you need to know. Second reason is that they do not think about the spiritual realm, even though they interact with it day in, day out. And you may say, when do I interact? When you pray? Who do you think you're praying to? The wall? Ceiling? Physical realm? No, you're speaking to the God who is the Spirit. So you are interacting with Him every day, but you completely somehow disengaging yourself. The only thing that you have is a physical realm. And somehow, a lot of people think that the spiritual realm is surreal, but the physical is the only real thing. Third reason I see is that they are influenced by the liberal media, especially Hollywood. Instead of receiving the truth from this book, the Word of God, they're taking a cue and they are being persuaded by the stories of the Hollywood movies that are practically demonic, anti-Christian, and spiritually ignorant and anti-God. Today we are studying a topical study from today. It will take many studies to go through from chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. I'm looking at about between 12 to 20 studies. And you're thinking, aren't you going to over-irrigate that thing? No. Probably we'll run out of time before we run out of topics. Anyway, even though it's topical, we are within the expository study. As you know, I rarely do the topical studies, but I believe that the Word of God is leading us to study, in-depth study of this thing. And during our study, we are going to find out who divine angels, God, I call them, God's invisible warriors are, and who our enemy is, and how they work against us, and what spiritual warfare is, and what each armor means to us, and how we are going to apply it in our lives. I am very excited about this study, and I've been waiting for this for a long time. Here's a quote from the ancient Chinese general and tactician Sun Tzu, and he wrote this in his profound book, The Art of War. He said, "So it is said that if you know your enemies and you know yourself, you win 100 battles without a single loss. If you only know yourself but not your opponent, you may win or lose. If you know neither yourself nor your enemy, you will always endanger yourself." That is so true. That's why we are going to know what we are and who we are in Christ, and we are going to find out who our enemies are. This morning we are going to learn about the angels, starting with God's invisible warriors. And let's stop and pray. Father, the airwaves are filled with the story about angels. Majority of them are wrong because they are fictional, they are anti-Christian, and as well as unbiblical. But we want to know the truth about you and your servants, angels. not to worship them, not to adore them, not to seek them, but simply know them and to know our fellow servants. And most of all, we want to know what you have in your word. And we may prepare ourselves for the spiritual warfare that is coming along. Father, we pray for President Obama that he may turn his heart to you and receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Whatever it takes, wake him up, Lord. And we're lifting up our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters and those who protect our freedom and safety. We're asking you to watch over them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many misconceptions about angels, as I mentioned. And thanks to the wild imagination by the artists and the Hollywood movies, here are a few. So there are a fat little naked babies with a tiny wings and a harp and floating on the cloud. Like the one here is drawn by the Raphael, a medieval artist, a fantastic artist. Often they look as if they are bored out of their minds. Is that what the angels do? That little naked baby just... trying to get in, looking for something to get into trouble. Or they are long flowing robed female flying across the sky on the long feathery wings. I don't know why it's always a female, but somehow. And thirdly, could dead people become an angel? This is prevalent, and come back to help their families or the helpless people on earth. None of these are true. Let me say one more time. None of these are true. You may remember a couple of old TV series, Highway to Heaven and Touched by an Angel. When you watch them, I'm sure you've watched them, and there are so many discrepancies between what they try to show and what the Bible says about angels. And it's not even funny. Even the newest series called The Bible on History Channel, how many of you guys watch that? I started it, and I just picked up the small portion where the Pharaoh was chasing Moses into the Red Sea. And I think I watched about 15 minutes of that. Okay, that is so wrong. I had to turn it off. You know why I said it was so wrong? According to this Bible, they walked on dry ground. In that movie, they've been showered by this wave of seawater. No. That is so wrong. And somehow the Hollywood has a problem interpreting the Bible as is. You know why they don't want to interpret the Bible as is? Because they get convicted. According to the Bible, angels are tremendously powerful spiritual beings created by God for the definite function. They not only operate in the world at large, doing the works of God, but they also have a very specific series of duties in the lives of followers of Jesus Christ. Billy Graham called them God's secret agent. I like that. In the Bible, we are never taught to seek out or worship angels. Let me say one more time. In the Bible, we are never taught to seek out or worship the angels. Nor should we ever pray to them, like some people think, or try to make a contact with them. So don't speak to your angel. They are not listening to you. If they can tell you, they will say, no, you talk to God. Don't pray to them. Don't seek out after them. Don't worship them. They are your fellow servant. Instead, we should pray to God and reserve our worship for Him and Him alone. You with me? Comprende? Okay. Go to the Revelation chapter 19, please. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Verse 10 says, I fell, that is the Apostle John, fell at his feet, that is the angel, to worship him. But he said, the angel said to John, see that you do not do that. I am your what? Fellow servant, exactly. And of your brethren who have a testimony of Jesus. worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. To put it simply, angels are sent to earth to do God's work. And they are doing that discreetly and quietly, not seeking to draw attention to themselves. And God wants us to give honor and glory to God alone, no one else. As you can tell, angels are invisible. And they remain that way most of the time, except the very special occasions. And God sent them in special assignment, allow them to clothe with human forms. And simply, or sometimes in their own splendor. I listed four occasions. Two undercover angels in human form were with Lot to take them out of the Sodom and Gomorrah before they strike them. Angel, in his splendor, appeared in front of Daniel while he was fasting and praying. And so to interpret the vision. Angel Gabriel, in his splendor, showed himself to Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and a group of lowly shepherds on the outside of Bethlehem. And angel, again in his splendor, appeared to Peter in the Jerusalem jail. There's only four occasions. I'm sure there are many in the Bible. Angels' duty, I find the four of them. This is not a complete duty, but I find the four of them I'm going to list for you. Angels protect born-again Christians. Angels protect born-again Christians. That's the memory verse we recited. Go to the Psalm 34, verse 7, please. Psalm 34, verse 7. It says, "The angel of the Lord encamp all around those who fear him and delivers them. If the Lord open our spiritual eyes, we might be able to see the angels in this sanctuary. They came with you, and they will go with you as you go about your own business today. And they are assigned to you to protect you from the harms and from the evil ones. The moment you said, 'I received Jesus into my heart.' That means you have your own bodyguard. By the way, do you know how much you have to pay for the bodyguard nowadays? $150 an hour. That's the average going price. And some of you are thinking, 'Oh, I'm going to be a bodyguard from now on.'" Go to 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. People cannot see until God opened their spiritual eyes. If they can see the angels, they can also see the demonic forces as well. Verse 17 says, "Elijah prayed and said, 'The Lord, I pray, open his eyes,'" that is his servant's eyes, who were panicking at this moment, "'that he may see it.' And the Lord opened the eyes of young men. He saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah." I bet that was quite a sight. You know, I think I wear out my guardian angels every 2 years, the way I drive, because my wife tells me that I'm the probably worst driver on earth with the lead foot disease. I don't drive fast. Actually, other people drive very slow. Let me say one more time. I don't drive fast. I just fly low, very low. As I pull into my driveway, I can just imagine angels go, "Okay, you're done. You're staying at home today." Go to Revelation again, chapter 12, please. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his head. His tail drew 1/3 of the stars heaven and threw them to the earth." A lot of, you know, I'm going to go sidetrack. A lot of pastors and a lot of Bible teachers said that, well, Book of Revelation is entirely for the future. So this is the 1/3 of angels, the revolt against God, and but until this time, demons had access to heaven, and they could go in and out, but they finally revolt against God, and they were thrown down. If that's the case, Isaiah, book of Isaiah, have a problem, because it has happened. If you know the tense, it's a past, not will be going to happen. Am I making sense? Don't think, please, don't think, don't read the Bible as in everything is in chronological order. If that's the case, the book of Job should happen after King David, right? Well, when did that book of Job happen actually? It was before Abraham. It should be right smack dab in the first portion of book of Genesis. Don't try to understand the Bible in Western mind chronological order. Don't try to understand book of Revelation in chronological order. You with me? If you want to know how this chronological order has been written in the events in the book of Revelation, go to our church website. There's a PDF file that I put everything, every verse of the book of Revelation in chronological order for you to understand. Download that thing. If you need them, I'll print out for you. Just come see me. I'll print them for you. All right, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. One third of angels led by Satan revolt against God. Now, if my math is correct, let's say there's 300 angels. I'm sure there are a whole lot more than 300 angels. 3 million angels. Let's just come up with a number. 1 million angels revolt against God. God said, okay, you're out of the door. He shoot them out. How many angels are left? 2 million, right? Can you come up with I teach this to my grandson. There are three, and you take one out. How many left? 2 million, right? That means we have more angels on our side than demons against us. God doesn't need angels to fight against angels. He can simply say the word, angels, demons are history. How powerful are the angels? According to 2 Kings chapter 19, there is a record of one particular angel killed 185,000 Syrian soldiers overnight. Yes. One angel killed 185,000 soldiers overnight. Move over Rambo. By the way, I highly encourage you not to make this angel mad at you. You're not going to stand a chance. Second duty for the angels is the angel deliver God's judgment. In the book of Revelation chapter 8 and chapter 9, you see that God's seven trumpet judgment. God doesn't blow those trumpets. Each angel blows their own trumpet. Whenever he blows the trumpet, disaster happens. One third of the sea is turning into the sea animals die. Can you imagine all this fish floating under the top of the seawater and smell and turning into blood? And one third of people die in another occasion? One third of people, world population die. That's the kind of things happen. In chapter 16, this time, each angel that dumped the ball from heaven to earth, is again, more devastating outcome happen all over the earth. In the Old Testament, as I mentioned before, two angels went into the Sodom and the Gomorrah area and rescued Lot and brought them outside of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he called down the fire and brimstone to the Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels delivered God's judgment. Third duty I find they do is the angels minister to born-again believers. Not only angels around us protect us, but they also minister to us through the promises and the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to Psalm 91, please. Psalm 91, verse 1, please. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love the way he describes. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Did you get that? The Lord is our secret hiding place and our refuge and our fortress. And in Him we find rest, in Him we can trust. Like our children run to us for their protection. We can run to our Lord, and He often protects us and minister to us through His angels. When Daniel was fasting and praying to the Lord in Daniel chapter 10, and the angel came. He was dispatched. But there were 21 days of delay. 21 days delay. And he had to ask for the reinforcement from the Michael the Archangel. When he came, he was able to come down and minister to Daniel to show them the meaning of the vision. And so he was able to write it down. The last duty I find as angel is called the spirit of the dead born-again believers to the Lord in heaven. In Acts chapter 12, an angel rescued Peter. This is not the first time Peter was end up in the slammer. It's the second time. He was locked there, and because Herod found out that he's their Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, supposedly resurrected. His tomb is empty. So he's not going to have that thing again. So what did he do? He put Peter inside of the slammer, to lock the gate, and he was guarded by the four squad of his soldiers. That is 16 soldiers. They're all standing around. Two of them are locked on the chain on the wrist with Peter. So where is he going to go? Angel showed up. They're all standing and looking at each other, staring at the wall, not knowing what's going on. Chain broke, took him out. Steel gate, locked gate started to open, flung open. And now, all of a sudden, Peter found himself sprung on the street. All right. God spared Peter. But what about James? Apostle James, remember him? The first one to be beheaded with the axe? Why God would have slain James at the same time, God would have spared Peter. We don't know why the gods allow the good saint to die, like Alex Baca is at the verge of death. And why the people like in the White House don't die? The worthless people. And you wonder. You know, we cannot doubt, we cannot question God's infinite wisdom. He knows what He's doing. Angels doing exactly what they are told to do. They do not question God like we often do. Here's the role. They are responsible for the company that saint to heaven someday. For every believer, there comes a time, there comes a moment our number is up. That means you finally kick the bucket. And then the moment you draw the last breath, that's the moment you're heading to the heaven. And you will get airlifted by the angel all the way to heaven where you will see the Master Lord Jesus Christ who has been waiting for you all this time. Go to Luke chapter 16, verse 22, please. Jesus speaking. So it was that beggar, that is Lazarus, died, and was carried, what? By who? Angel, to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Okay, keep that in the back of your mind. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. How fast do we go? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, please. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. So the moment you take a last breath, Okay, end of the earth and welcome to heaven. In between, you get airlifted by the angel. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we too have the power of resurrection. And when our spirit leaves this earthly body behind, the Lord will provide angelic protection all the way to home. And some of the people will say, come on, preacher, do you actually believe that supernatural thing? Yes, I do believe more than my own breath right now. The very fact that they do not believe the Lord Jesus Christ's salvation for them is the evidence of the demonic presence in their life and their willful ignorance for the truth. The demons don't want them to believe the truth of God. And if you are one of those unbelievers, you are agreeing with them. And if you keep listening to them, you will end up in the hell with them by your own choice. Additionally, the Bible promises you that you are not going to have a brusque party in hell. There won't be a party. It's an eternal damnation and eternal punishment for your own choice. But if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, I believe everyone in this room is. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you are in good hand. For a believer, to live is Christ, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To believers, death is graduation and coronation. Isn't that a good thing? We will also receive the crown. But we will cast that crown, like the song says, and like the book of Revelation says, we'll cast it on the sea of glass, and we will fall down on our knees and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reward by which we pass from this decaying body to the eternal body that God has prepared for us. That is hope for every Christian. It doesn't matter how aching your body is. I noticed it's getting worse. Each time I'm sitting in the one position, and when I try to get up, it takes about 5 minutes to stretch all the way. I can hardly wait for it. Can you? One application for you. This is very important. A lot of people think that, it's nothing. It is important. Angels should not be worshipped or prayed to because they are fellow servants in Christ. Don't look for them. Don't hope that they would be so you can see them. I used to think that it would be cool to see the angels. No, it's not cool to see angels. Keep the eye on Jesus Christ, Him alone. Amen? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You alone deserve all our praise and all of our worship. Thank you for teaching us your truth. And thank you for reminding us that we are not only living on this physical world, we are also living in the very, very vivid spiritual world. Let us be prepared for any kind of spiritual attack. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.